And we are live on Blog Talk Radio for Revolution Zone. I'm your host, Jeremy the Impact York. Today we are brought to you by Impact Media. Those guys are awesome. Got some good stuff we're going to get into today. Of course, we are going to review the big win against the San Angelo Bandits. So excited, can't talk. Imagine that. We're going to talk about some of the bigger things from that as well. We're going to talk about the halftime show. It was Sonny's favorite halftime show, and we'll tell you why it was his favorite. I got a new thing I'm going to debut today called Two for Tuesday. That's every time we do Revolution Zone, I'm going to try to give you two big takeaways or two big things, either about the Revs or the way they play or something maybe, you know, just in general. It'll be Rev-related. It'll be a lot of fun. Then, of course, I'll give you a small preview for Saturday's game against the Duke City Gladiators. I'm going to mention some of the new guys as well as we go through some of this. So, welcome to the show. Don't have a guest on tonight, just me telling you about the Revolution, kind of back to basics in a way. I do want to open the show, and I don't open the show many times like this, but when certain things happen, I just like to make sure to, I guess, give them their proper due. Now, of course, our thoughts and prayers are with all the people in Houston, and I believe Dallas got some rain as well, but Houston is, I think they had 26 inches of rain in a couple of days. That's as much as some people get in a year. Hope everybody's safe. Hope everybody is recouping well, and there wasn't a whole lot of damage. If there was, hopefully you're able to help some or to get the help you need. And, of course, you know, I think the American Red Cross, I think a few others would be able to help you with that. I'm sure the things are posted up. And if you're listening to my show and you're going through all that, I appreciate it. Maybe I can give you the distraction away from the chaos going on around you right now. I'll do my best. So thoughts and prayers out to the people of Houston and Dallas and just Texas in general with all the flooding. Hope you guys are all safe. Also wanted to say that a very beloved lady passed away, and I didn't personally know her, but everybody watched, everybody loves Raymond and other things like that. His mother on the show was played by a lady called Doris Roberts, and Doris is a true gem to not just Hollywood, but the world, and she passed away the other day at the age of 90. I didn't realize she was 90. Kind of like Betty White, you don't realize how long she's actually been around until something crazy happens or you find out. So she had about a 60-year career, that last I heard. But thoughts, prayers, condolences out to the family of the lovely Miss Doris Roberts. You will be missed. Everybody Loves Raymond is a good show. I always enjoyed it. So, you know, thoughts and prayers out there. Now, let's get into some fun stuff, right? We got the stuff we had to say out of the way, so let's get into some fun stuff. Talk about a win versus the San Angelo Bandits on Friday evening. We'll get into halftime in a minute. Me, if you saw that, if you saw the game live or if you saw it on Eversport.tv or if you heard Sonny's call on his podcast or through Blog Talk Radio through the live cast, then the game, if you didn't know the score, was a lot closer than it appeared. The Revolution did win by 19, but it was a lot closer than that. It really was. I was a little worried at the time. San Angelo was one of the teams. They came in without a win. At least we were able to hand them another loss. But they're one of those teams that they're always really close. And the Revolution have this thing where sometimes it's like they want to stay behind long enough so the people can catch up to them. You got to watch doing that. Sometimes you lose. In fact, a lot of times you lose when you do that. Thank goodness we have the players that we do, the staff that we do, so that we don't let people get too close to us before we put on the gas again. And in fact, we have the best record in CF. We only have one loss. We're 5-1 right now. We're the leaders of the Southern Division. Everybody else around us either has two losses or we'll actually have three. As far as the Southern Division, the way it reads out right now, Texas is 5-1. Dodge City, of course, right behind us, 5-2. The Duke City Gladiators are at 4-2. Venom at 4-2. The Mesquite Marshals at 1-6. But they are having one hell of a rodeo over Mesquite. If you get a chance, go check them out. Go check them out as well. And San Diego is at 0-6. They're having some issues. One of the cooler logos, they're having issues. But as far as the North Division, your Sioux City Bandits are 5-2. They lead the division currently. Wichita is 4-2. Omaha Beef is 3-3. The Bloomington Edge is 2-3. The Salina Bombers are 2-4. And Chicago, as they have, you know, just recently joined this year, they are 2-4. But at any given point, any team here could beat any team. San Angelo could have easily beaten us. But they didn't. And why didn't they? Well, a lot of it had to do with the Legion of Boom I talked about. Frankie Solomon didn't play because he has, I believe, broken bone in his foot. It's going to keep him out 6 to 8 weeks. I believe he should be back in time for the playoffs. And, yes, this team will be going to the playoffs. Frankie, we need you to do better as soon as you can, but I want you to do it the right way. So get better soon. And get back when you can. But they got Quentin Abram, who's back there. Of course, you got Playmaker, or TJ Webb, as he might be called by people who know him. I like Playmaker. We're going to call him Playmaker. So shout out to Playmaker for not only recovering a fumble, which led to a score, but he had two interceptions. And he could have probably had more had the referees called a slightly tighter game. You guys are doing okay. I understand you had a new leader on Friday, so I give you a little bit of slack. And the indoor environment, they did change some rules over the winter. So I give you benefit of the doubt. It was good to see DeMario Dixon get a sack, and it was a very timely sack. I was very happy that he got that when he did. It actually killed the last drive for the Bandits. But at the same time, it's good to see the reigning CIF Defensive Player of the Year get a sack. He's been a little slow out of the blocks. Have no idea why he's out of the blocks so slow. But, you know, I hope he's doing better. What was kind of weird was that I almost called him Jeff Kent. So you've got me doing it now. Robert Kent was injured at one point, and DeJuan came in for a minute, and he was able to do quite well for a handful of plays. I believe he went 2 for 2. Let's see. Got it somewhere. Here it is. Come on, Dewberry. He came in, went 2 for 2, 17 yards and a touchdown. He's actually 5 for 5 on the year, and actually Darius Fudge is 1 for 1 on the year with his completion, and it was for a 3-yard touchdown as well. But Ken ended up coming back in the game, He ended up 19 for 39, threw one interception for 249 yards. The interception went 249 yards. That was a total. Four touchdowns. He was sacked once. He's only been sacked 8 times on the year. I mean, he is just lights out tearing it up. Lights out tearing it up. Like on the season, he is 117 for 195. He's had 117 completions in 195 attempts. He's thrown 5 total interceptions. It's a 60% percentage rate. 1,445 total yards, 39 touchdowns. I don't know what the indoor record is, but he's got to be on pace to shatter it, right? As long as he's a 45-yarder. Of course, that was against Wichita Forest just a couple weeks ago. He's been sacked 8 times total, as I said. He's carrying an overall quarterback rating, which I still don't understand. ESPN, please tell me how we're supposed to figure that out. But either way, I know that 111.86 is quite good. Now, as far as some of the stats from the rest of the game. Darius Fudge, our main running back, had 15 carries for 44 yards and a touchdown. Robert Kent, quarterback, had 2 runs for 21 yards and 2 touchdowns. And Joe Adams had 1 carry for 1 yard. As far as receiving, Tavarius Williams continues to just get better and better. I mean, the 1-2 punch of him and Clinton Solomon is unreal. But Tavarius Williams had 7 catches for 90 yards and 2 touchdowns. Clinton Solomon had 3 catches for 39 yards and 2 touchdowns. Darius Fudge had 3 catches for 38 yards. Ronnie Cooper had 4 receptions for 23 yards and a touchdown. Joe Adams had, make sure I read this right. Joe Adams had 3 catches for 39 yards and a touchdown. And Mac Randall Jr. getting in on the action, had a catch for 8 yards. Crazy, right? Of course, our overall tackle leader is Taylor McCullough, or Wolverine, as we will call him from here on out. He actually had 3 tackles, unassisted, and 2 assisted tackles on the night. Quentin Abron had 7, he had 8 total. Rico Nelson that was on here a couple months back. We had him on right before the season, and of course he was also on last week's Falcons on here on Impact Media, because we were talking about Will Smith of the Saints, and he was actually a teammate of Will a couple years ago. Had himself a 13 tackle day. He was all over the place. If the ball was live, he was on top of it. As far as sacks, he said DeMario Dixon had 1, and also Joseph Cook had 1 as well. Overall leader is Taylor McCullough, still on that with 3 on the year. 1.5 for DeMario. Giorgio Walton, who played in the first couple games, hadn't played since, has 1.5 as well. Joseph Cook and Robert Williams with 1 apiece. Now, like I said, this game was a lot closer than it sure seemed like it was, score-wise. But if you look at the breakdown of the game, it didn't seem as close. Your Texas Revolution outscored the San Angelo Bandit 21-7 in the first quarter, 28-20 in the second quarter, and then got outscored 7-6 and 9-7 in the remaining. I don't know what happened in the second half. I guess San Angelo figured it out, and I know they kept the ball for a lot of the time and really tried to get some points on the board. They weren't quite able to do that, so ultimately 62-43. Was your final score. Like I said, that puts us in first place in the division going into the game this weekend. the game this weekend. It's Saturday at 7 p.m. Central Standard Time at the Duke City Gladiators. So that's out in Albuquerque, New Mexico. If you're out that way, go check out the game. If you're not, Eversport.tv is supposed to show the game. We will have to wait and see if that happens. If not, you can always listen to Sonny's call on Blog Talk Radio. Now, the Gladiators last year, they only played a limited season as far as the games in the CIF. They were kind of a late addition. They played two-thirds of their year here, not enough to qualify for the playoffs or anything, but they played hard and they played tough. They were one of those teams that you could really see could surprise some people. And if I'm not mistaken, they knocked off a few people early this year that nobody saw coming. So Duke City is good in a hurry. And I think between them and the Dodge City Law are our main competition. Amarillo is good, but I don't know that they can keep it up. I think it's between us, Dodge City, and Duke City as far as the Southern Division. Now, unless they've changed it again, I believe the top three from each division will make the playoffs. So right now, the Sioux City Bandits, the Wichita Force, and the Omaha Beef will come from the north. Your Texas Revolution, the Dodge City Law, and the Duke City Gladiators, because of a slight tiebreaker, would be from the South Division. Now, Amarillo is also 4-2 like the Gladiators are, so that's actually kind of a tight race. I'm worried about it. I also want to congratulate Robert Kent, as he is the Week 7 CIF Offensive Player of the Week. I love him in the bin. The guy that plays, he's been playing out of his mind. Totally out of his mind. Congratulations to him on that. Now, I said just a few minutes ago that the halftime show at this week's game was one of Sonny's favorites. Now, the reason it's one of Sonny's favorites is the wiener dog races. Sonny loves the wiener dog races. They are really cool to watch, especially in person. If you don't get a chance to see them in person, go back and watch video. It's pretty cool. Those little dogs, just when they get going, they're like Scooby-Doo. You just see just the wheels turning. And they are just burning carpet, turning and burning. Also, there was the oral wrestling debut of Dave, the shirtless intern, versus two little wrestlers. And I believe you know what I mean by little wrestlers. They are actually qualified, though. They actually have a website. They are booked out to do these sorts of things. They're actually bodybuilders as well. And if you haven't seen the video of that, I believe the Revolution have it up, and I believe Sonny took one as well on his Facebook. Dave held his own there for a little while. He didn't have some bad chops there. Ultimately, the little ones are always going to win. The pros usually do in those things, but it's good to see that Dave had fun doing it. And maybe the next couple of weeks we'll have him on here and ask his eyewitness account of what he thought about wrestling people a third of his size. Now, when we get back from break, I'm going to get into the 2 for Tuesday. And then we'll probably get out of here. But I'm Jeremy the Impact York. We'll see you on the other side of the break.
Jeremy the Impact York from Endzone here. Would you or your business like to advertise with Endzone? It's easier than you think. With many packages available, we've got the perfect deal to help you promote your business to a whole new audience. All you have to do is contact us at 3endzone@gmail.com for more info and to get started today. Let us help you grow your business.
And welcome back here to Revolution Zone on Blog Talk Radio. I'm Jeremy the Impact York. Now, the 2 for Tuesday thing that we're going to start doing, like I said, it's two things that I want to leave you guys with. Maybe it was an impression I got from something. Maybe it's something I feel like we could do to make this team better. Maybe it's just some random thoughts. Who knows? But these two are going to address two things that I hear the most from you guys, the fans. Because, yes, I listen. So does your organization. They listen. First thing, why is this team so successful? Well, it's a simple answer. It really is. when you take the best management, the best coaches, the best front office, players, and the best surrounding cast, and put them all together, and it's that family-like atmosphere, then this team wins. This team wins. Let's start with the front office. You got the general manager, Tim Brown. Hall of Famer, Tim Brown. Played with Oakland. Great wide receiver. Has a real good mind for the business. Between him and the assistant general manager, John Tavares, who we've had on here before, they're the ones scouting and signing players and making sure that this roster is as talented as it needs to be to get the job done. Because it's not just, oh, well, he's a 4 out of 5 and he's a 3.5 out of 5. We should get the 4. Well, if the 3.5 fits, it's just the way it works. You try to get who fits what you're trying to do better than who's got the most talent. Of course, you got the president of the Revolution and co-owner as well, Charlie Hilbold. Tommy Benizio is the other owner. Those four guys, you could throw intern Dave in there because he's in the office, and Rhapsody with all the media stuff. I mean, they got a just killer front office, one that a lot of pro teams would probably enjoy having. Which gets the kind of people, you know, it's about getting the right people not only on the bus, but make sure that the right people are on the bus and in the right seats. These guys are in the right seats. You go to the coaching staff. We'll start all the way towards the bottom. The equipment manager, Lester Alexander, one of the best in the game. Strength and conditioning. I'm raising my computers. Angel Rivera, just phenomenal. You ought to check out some of his camps and some of the things he does. That guy really knows what he's doing. The offensive assistant, John Tavares, is lending his skills there. Because he's a great assistant at that. Defensive backs coach, Charles Franklin. Linebackers and special teams coach, Ronald Redmond. Defensive coordinator, Rashad Washington. Of course, the head coach, Victor Mann. That is an all-star team of former players and league guys who have either been in the indoor and or pro division and really know what they're doing. Victor Mann, even though it went against us, he corrected the referees a few times on some rules as to where the ball is placed or as to what the rule states. It ended up coming back on us, but that's the kind of guy he is. He's a stand-up, straight shooter. Those are the kind of people we like. Some of the big players, like I said, the Legion of Boom, all those guys in the secondary, you can't beat those. If you get caught in the web, he's going to make you pay. You know that. When Frankie Solomon gets back, you know, he's the face of this team. He's by far arguably one of the best ever in the indoor environment. Rico Nelson, Quentin Abram, Joe Adams, Hudson LaDon, some of the new guys, Dylan Calder that we'll get into in a minute, all the superheroes, Clinton Solomon, Robert Kent, DeMario Dixon, Taylor McCullough. It's just a team of all-stars. These guys would be the best player on any team by themselves. But when you're on this team, it's unbelievable how much talent is just oozing out of this team. And then, as I said, the support staff. There's the Eagle Eye Bill Cerna. There's Sonny Clark. Not only is he the hardest working man in sports radio, but he's also one of the best play-by-play guys in the indoor or almost any game. You got Alamo, the mascot. One of the best in the league. The Allen Event Center is always rocking. And part of the reason it's always rocking is you guys, the fans, and the Texas Revolution dancers. These girls, I say it each and every week, are the best in the league. They always win awards. They always are considered one of the best in the league, in the world. These girls keep you guys excited the entire game. And you may say, well, they're cheerleaders. That's what they're supposed to do. No, necessarily. If you go back and look at early cheerleaders, they would occasionally cheer here and there, but these girls are out in the community. They do all kinds of fun stuff. They're always on social media. They're very accessible. In fact, maybe we'll get a couple of them on the next couple of weeks, and you guys can get a chance to get to know them. You got Catherine Dunn, who does the Inside of the Revolution. All these different things. That's what makes somebody successful, is having, like I said, it's about having the right people on the bus and the right people in the right seats. Revolution, have them in there. There's a good chance they'll make another championship run. This year, I believe they'll pull it off. I definitely believe they'll pull it off.
Oh, it's funny because it's true.
Yep, Homer, it is. I'm not sure it's funny, but it's true. Now, our other thing on Two for Tuesday is the kicking game. You guys have complained a lot of times. You seem to our kicker is Dylan Calder. Just mentioned him a few minutes ago. And Dylan's been a good kicker. In the indoor environment, for some reason, it is very hard. Get a good kicker. It's consistent. It's really hard to kick. I don't know if you guys have ever tried to kick before, but it's not easy. Dylan does well. He's only missed a couple. One, there's not a lot of field goal tries in the indoor environment. Like I said, it's a little different, but Dylan, they're getting bigger and better every day. So shout out to him. Like I said, he hasn't been as bad as people think. I don't have the stats in front of me, but it's not like he's missed that many. A couple of them may have been key, but it's the same way that sometimes a receiver stumbles or you know, the game of football, there's all kinds of things that can happen. So I give him the benefit of the doubt on that. The best thing that we can do to help the kicking game is to get behind him. Get behind Dylan Calder. Why? Because Dylan is a Revolution player. He's a member of this franchise. And if you guys are fans of this franchise, you cheer for the players you have. Now, I don't know if it's known on this show or not. I believe I mentioned it a couple shows back maybe that I've been a lifelong Mets and Yankees fan. For the sake of this argument, I'm going to use the Yankees. When all the things happened with Alex Rodriguez, a lot of people asked me, how do you feel about Alex Rodriguez? I told him my thought is what he does on the baseball field is what I'm concerned about, because what he did off wasn't hurting anybody but himself. And at the same time, as long as he's putting on the pinstripes and jogging out of the field or grabbing a bat and swinging, then go A-Rod. But possibly even the exact, you know, week, day, hour, minute, second that he takes off that jersey and goes home, I don't have to cheer for him because he's no longer on my team. I personally like A-Rod a little bit, so I would probably cheer for him to maybe do some good things in life and maybe try to get back. But it's the same thing in this instance. Dylan Calder puts on the red, white, and blue uniform of the Texas Revolution. I'm a fan of the Texas Revolution. I support the Texas Revolution. So, Dylan, I'm behind you. I think you're good. You wouldn't be on this team if not. John Navarro doesn't sign slouches. He doesn't. There's a lot of guys that would love to be on this team that aren't. He signs the people this team needs. And Dylan, you're the kicker we need. Kicking is hard. It really is. I've tried to do it a couple times. This was years ago. But in high school, I knew our high school kicker. So a couple times I would go out there helping him out. It's not as easy as you think. And in the indoor environment, it is super loud, especially when thousands and thousands of you guys are packing the Allen Event Center. Just remember, our guys are on offense. Be as quiet as you can when they're going to snap the ball. You can cheer up to that point. Our guys are on defense. Be as loud as you can be, because we want the other team to struggle to hear and have a lot of offsides and false starts and all those sorts of things. But like I said, as far as Dylan being our kicker, I'm behind you, Dylan. I know a lot of other people are behind you. I know the organization's behind you. I know these fans are behind you. So you keep doing what you're doing, and this team's going to go far. And that's actually going to do it for me this week. I hope you guys enjoyed the Two for Tuesday. I'm your host, Jeremy the Impact York. Thanks for joining us right here on Blog Talk Radio for Revolution Zone. We'll see you guys next Tuesday. Be sure to stay tuned to our Facebook and Twitter accounts so that you can see which guests we bring on. I'm pretty sure we're going to have a couple special ones, so make sure you tune in. We'll see you guys next week. Cannons up.
By that much.